Thank you. It is my pleasure, in the absence of Reverend Paul Nesbitt, who is on vacation, to welcome you to First Congregational Church of Westfield. A most sincere and warm welcome to all of you. If you are new to our church and you would like to learn more about it, please fill out the white card that is in front of you in the pew this morning. It is also my pleasure to welcome Flo Petoniak, who is a member of our sister church in Southwick, and who is a member in discernment, who will lead us in our worship service this morning. Are there any announcements to be made? Hearing none, please join me in the call to worship as printed in your worship guide. I will sing of your love forever, O God. I will declare that your love stands firm, that your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens above.
Seated. You'll find a prayer of confession this morning in your worship guide. Also, I invite you to join your voices with mine as we say the prayer of confession. Patient Lord, we want to extend the hand of welcome and friendship to all we meet, but you know that sometimes we have difficulty reaching out. We make judgments about others based on what we see. We neglect your mandate to be welcoming presence. Our lack of welcome sometimes is a stumbling block when we see that need that to be addressed, and yet we turn our backs. We turn away from pain and suffering, protecting our own lives and livelihoods. You remind us that, even as we welcome others, we are welcoming you. Heal us and give us the strength and courage to always welcome others in your name. How wonderful it is to be welcomed by our Lord. Truly, he has promised a place for each of us, and we need only to confess our sins to him, and they will be forgiven. Rejoice, for even in this moment, God sees you and accepts you for who you are. You need only to turn toward him.
First reading from the scripture this morning is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. It's Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourselves to God as men who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you yield yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once yielded your members to impurity, to greater and greater iniquity, so now yield your members to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and to become slaves of God, the return you get is sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our God is still speaking.
Our second reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And I want to warn you before we get started, my sermons tend to be very short, and in the summer they seem to be even shorter because I'm used to being in a church without air conditioning. Okay, so you don't miss Paul. I'm going to start today with a question. question. When you were growing up, were there rules that you had to follow? I'm going to give you a minute to think of what some of those rules might be. Would anyone like to share one of their family rules as they were growing up?
Be home by dark.
Be home by dark.
Eat everything on your plate.
They both lived at my house. Don't tell a lie.
Don't ever talk about your mom.
Don't ever talk about your mom. Don't use that tone of voice with me. To share with others, yes. There are also other ones like, no elbows on the table. Don't put your feet on the furniture. Dinner is at 5, and if you are not here, you will not eat. I do not run a restaurant. Now, growing up, did your friends' families have the same rules as you did? Kind of. Did you have any family that you remember that seemed to have absolute freedom and nothing happened to them? My cousins were like that. Of course, there were 12 of them, so they were a little harder to keep track of than the three of us. But they seemed to spend a lot of time doing whatever they wanted, and there were no issues. I know my parents were about half a century behind everyone else's. And for example, bedtime was 8:30 for me, even in high school. That was a bit much. And there were many other ways as well. We couldn't get our ears pierced because if God had intended you to have holes in your ears, he would have put them there, and on and on. But I'm not here to criticize my parents. They did a good job. I am sure many of you had the feeling that your parents were picking on you unmercifully. I could not wait to grow up and not be in their house and under their rules. It would be like a get-out-of-jail-free card. And then I made the unfortunate mistake of growing up. Guess what? There were rules that I had to follow still. And if it hadn't been for the earlier training, I would have been in for a rude awakening and would have gotten into a lot more trouble than I did. Now, this morning's readings remind us that as Christians, there are still some rules that we have to follow. Just because Jesus overcame death for you does not mean that you should go skydiving and not wear a parachute. Your sins are forgiven, so it is okay to lie to someone, cheat on your taxes, or steal your neighbor's car. No. Just because you are following the laws of God does not mean that you will be held blameless if you are speeding down the road and blowing through stop signs. You are still held accountable for being in this world with all of its expectations, but you are not a part of this world. You should not incorporate the evil and sinfulness that surrounds you into yourself. That would be like slowly poisoning yourself, and you wouldn't even be aware of it. Don't misunderstand. You are still different. You have become a Christian. You have accepted a mandate and a mission. It's kind of like being 007. You just can't allow yourself to be distracted by all those tempting bits that the world is offering. The world wants you to indulge your pleasure-seeking side, and you have to have fun. But you still have to bring the message that there is more to this life than what we're seeing. It takes commitment and discipline to stay the course. 247 years ago, the colonists could have given in. They could have taken the easier way out. I mean, why fight it? It was all around them. They had been subjects of King George since birth. Their parents had been as well. What harm could it be to just do what everyone was doing and follow the crowd? They chose instead to stand up for another cause that they believed in. Their higher truth told them that there was something better, and they were working toward it, a better outcome for themselves and their loved ones. And on Tuesday, we will remember them, celebrate their commitment, and thank them for being so dedicated to their cause during a difficult time. We have reaped the benefits of their diligence, she says, speaking in English. In New England, we pride ourselves on being the descendants of strong pioneer stock. We almost gleefully point out that this is where the first colonies were located. This is where people were brave enough to tell King George to take his tea and his tin soldiers and to leave us alone. This is where we secured the destiny of a country free, independent, and darn stubborn. With that history behind us, how can we not, with the same dedication, take up the cause of a new and life-changing future with God? Puritans, patriots, prophets, it just follows. Just as our second scripture reading reminds us, if we welcome Jesus into our homes, we will also welcome God. When we do that, we take on a certain responsibility. Those who cried out for freedom from England paid a great price. They were ostracized, put in jail, and many of them lost their lives. Many in this world will not choose to follow the path that we have chosen. It is not easy to be like the patriots. We will surely experience hardship along the way. No one likes it when you ruffle their feathers. No one likes it when you say change has to come. But we must be strong and stay the course. We must encourage others to join our walk of faith. Embracing them where they are and showing them that our way leads to a better ending. It is too easy just to give the ones who are beginning to follow the path a glass of water, pat them on the head, and then move ahead without them. We don't want to leave them in the dust. That doesn't send a message of love and peace. That sends a message of, this group really doesn't care about you. It also is a certain path to making sure our mission will not continue when we are no longer able to lead it. People want to know they are part of something and that they are valued for the role that they play. We have chosen a different road. We are governed by new laws of love. We will face new challenges as we bring love to divisiveness. Our dedication will be tested. Generations ago faced similar challenges. We know how they responded, and we are very happy that they did. Now we must decide, what will our future say about us? Amen.
Before Flo leads us in the pastoral prayer, please give thought to our joys and concerns for our church. For our government leaders, give them wisdom, integrity, and spirit of cooperation. Prayers for men and women in the armed forces, in particular Cody Ambrosia, the grandson of Bob and Lynn Brownlee. Prayers for members and friends of our congregation, Armand, Olivia, Jonathan, Don, Ann, Jeff, Vanessa, Dave, Castle, Kathy, Lisa, Bob, Shirley, Judy, Rick, Joan, Mary Lynn, Barry, Ralph, Linda, Norma, Donna, Jackie, Kurt, Ariana, and John, and remembering our friends in senior care facilities, Nancy, Joan, and Betty.
May God be with you.
Amen.
Let us be in a spirit of prayer. Lord, we talk so easily about being a friendly and welcoming church. We like to think of ourselves as a place where everyone is welcome, but our welcome should not stay confined within these walls. We are called to adopt attitudes of hospitality to others who may not return that favor. We are called to be willing to take the risk of hospitality in our workplace, our families, and within our communities, wherever we find ourselves. You reached out to people in all kinds of situations. Many of those who you reached out to were people whose society and even their families had rejected. They cried out for compassion and friendship. Lord Jesus, you welcome each of us regardless of our faults and failings. Help us to be a welcoming presence to others as you were to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God has welcomed each of us to his table. He has blessed us generously, even before we were born. Now he calls for us to return a portion of what we have received to others so that they may experience his presence. I invite you now to give as you feel directed. Your morning offering will now be taken. help others hear your voice and feel your love within our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn today will be "O Beautiful for Spacious Skies." It's number 737 in your hymnal. Ambassadors, an extravagant welcome wherever we go this week.